The doctors are figuring it out. She's been in a lot of pain and stuff lately, and they can't figure out what's going on with her, but y'all pray for her. But tonight, if you got your Bibles, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 22. We're going to start in verse 1. And before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, come to you once again. Just want to thank you for this great honor and privilege of being in your house here tonight, Lord. I want to thank you for everyone that come out to be with us. And Lord, I want to thank you for the great spirit very felt, Lord. And I just pray here for the next few minutes, Lord, as I try to preach or teach or whatever you want me to do here tonight, Lord. I just pray that you'd help me tonight, Lord. You're the preacher, Lord. You're the teacher. I'm nothing here tonight, Lord. Just pray that I can be used the willing vessel for your glory to be a help to somebody here tonight, Lord. And I just pray tonight, Lord, if there's one coming that door hurting, Lord, I pray they can find help tonight in your house. And Lord, most of all, if there's one come through that door lost tonight, Lord, headed to hell. I just pray tonight be the night you put a conviction in their heart, Lord. I just pray they wouldn't be able to stand it no more till they come to know you as Lord and Savior. We love you, Lord. We thank you for everything you're doing, all you're going to do. And we ask you to please be in our midst tonight, Lord. Won't you get all the praise, honor, and glory for all that's done. We just ask all these things in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. But Genesis 22, verse 1 says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, and said to Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for a burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of a burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up to a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, and because thou hast done this thing, thou hast withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sands which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So I got to thinking about these scriptures here, and I got thinking about, you know, here in verse 1, it says that the Lord called upon Abraham, and Abraham said, here I am. So I got to thinking about today how a lot of times God calls upon us, and God will try to get our attention, and he'll call us by name. And you say, what do you mean? He's got something for us to do a lot of times, and he'll call us out, and he'll say, hey, I need you. And he called on Abraham, and Abraham said, well, here I am, God. But then I got to thinking, it goes a little deeper than just saying, here I am. Because he said, here I am in verse 1. But then in verse 2, God tells him, he says, take thy son for a burnt offering. So he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him for a burnt offering. I got to thinking about that, and Abraham's here, and he says, well, here am I. And then God says, take your son for a burnt offering. And you know today that we need to love our Lord above everything else. God ought to come first in our life. He ought to be the number one thing in our life. But I'm going to tell you, I love my family. I love my wife. I love my children. But let me tell you, I love God more. He has to come first in our life. But you know today, I got to thinking about that. And I got to thinking about, he's saying, hey, take your son for a burnt offering. I dare say if God told me tonight to go sacrifice one of my children, I'd have to argue with God. I'd have to start questioning God. I'd say, are you sure, God? Why would you have me do that? Why? And then I got to thinking about, why would God tell somebody that? Well, I got to thinking, I think maybe today, maybe he put his son in front of God. Maybe he put his child in front of God, and God is trying to say, hey, I'm number one. I need to come first in your life. I believe today that maybe Abraham, that maybe he loved Isaac so much that he put his son up a little bit higher than he did God. And you say, what do you mean, preacher? I'm telling you, there's a lot of that goes on today. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Somebody putting their child in front of God? Absolutely. That goes on all the time. Now you say, what do you mean? I got to thinking about the day we live in. You know, preacher, he may try to have a revival. He may say, hey, we're going to have revival next week. We're going to call a man of God in here, and he's going to preach. And the Lord may lay it on their heart. Let me tell you, here's what a lot happens most of the time nowadays. You'll hear stuff like, well, the kid's got a ball game this night. The kid's got something going on that night. The school system's got something. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I'm going to tell you, the kid needs to be in God's house under the Word of God, hearing the Word of God preached today. But today, a lot of times today, our fundamental churches throughout America, they're shutting down. You say, why are they shutting down? I run into people all the time that was going to a good independent Baptist church, and I say, where are you going now? And they're going to some liberal church down here, road. And I say, why are you going there? What's wrong? Well, the kids wanted to go there. You know, the kids wanted to go. It used to be that the man of the house, the woman, you know, they prayed, they seek God's will. They went where God wanted them to go. Nowadays, you know what's happening? The kids decide where they're going to go to church, and mom and dad follow the kids. That ain't the way it's meant to be today. But you say, why is that? Because we put our kids first. I'm going to tell you today, if you got a kid living under your roof, I don't care if they're 30 years old. If they're living at home, they need to be in God's house. They need to be hearing the Word of God. But today we got our fundamental churches are closing. You bring kids in, you take them to Dollywood every other weekend, and you send them out to play where everybody else is having church. You know what? You're going to grow. Congregation's going to grow because that's what they want. We got this travel ball. You say, what do you mean? The local high school sports ain't good enough. We got to play travel ball. So in other words, we got to miss church every other weekend because we're gone. And you say, why? Because we live behind our kids. I think about a lot of divorces we see today. A lot of people today, they'll have kids, and when the kids turn 18, the kids move away. Then they end up getting divorced. You say, why? Because they love their kids more than they love their spouse. But I got to thinking about that and using that just as an example. But it ain't just our kids. It's anything we put in front of serving God is wrong. Anything that comes in front of God. So I got to thinking about that, and I used to be guilty. You say, what do you mean? Football. That used to be my God. You say, explain that, preacher. When I surrendered to preach, boy, I was a huge Hokie fan. That's when they were good. They whooped Tennessee back then. That's back in the good days. Tyrod Taylor, I watched him whoop Tennessee. But here's the thing. I was a Hokie fan. 12 o'clock noon on Saturday, when that football was kicked off, I had to stay on that couch till after midnight. From noon to after midnight, you needed something that's too bad. My wife wanted something that's too bad. You say, why? Because I put that football became my God. And I tell you what God said. He said, hey, get rid of that cable. So you know what I did? I got rid of that cable. You know what? I ain't missed it. I don't even watch it anymore. Don't care nothing about it no more. Especially this NFL. You say, what's wrong with the NFL? If they ain't going to honor that, I don't want nothing to do with them. Right. Hey, people quit for a while, and then they just went back to watching. I ain't going to honor that. I don't want nothing to do with them. But you say, what do you mean? We put that stuff in front of serving God. I preached in Kingsport last Sunday night, and I heard the same thing I hear every Super Bowl Sunday. Well, we're going to be down tonight. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but I'm just going to be flat out honest. If you laid out of church to watch the Super Bowl on Sunday night, I don't care what excuse you got. I don't care how many times it comes once a year or all that. What it boils down to is if you laid out of church to watch the Super Bowl, then you care more about that football going down the field than you do what's going on in God's house. So today, there's a lot of people today that's just got some Isaacs in their life that they need to lay down. We need to get rid of those Isaacs in our life. But you know, he answered him here. God told him what he wanted to do, and you know, a lot of times that's as far as we get. There's a lot of people today, God saying, hey, you got Isaac in your life, and I need you to lay it down. And they're saying, here am I, God. He's saying, lay that Isaac down. They're saying, Boy, I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to lay that Isaac down. But you know, Abraham, he rose up in verse 3 early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took his young men with him and Isaac his son. And clay the wood for a burnt offering. So they said, what do you mean? Abraham, he didn't tell God no. I think a lot of people today are telling God no. I think God's saying, hey, I want you to do this. I want you to put me first. But they're not willing to let go of that Isaac in their life. They wonder today why their home's in a mess. They wonder today why things are messed up, turned upside down. A lot of us, God's speaking to us, and he's saying, get rid of that. But we're saying, no, God. He was willing to take his son. He took his son, and he went out on a journey. Because why would he do that, God said? I'll tell you today, I don't care how silly it seems. If God says to do it, we need to do it. We need to do it. We need to be willing to go and do what God says. We need to be willing to get rid of that Isaac in our life. Amen. But He tells them here, he's willing to go. But what I like here is even though he's willing to go, over here in verse 7, Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, Father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? So listen to this. Abraham's willing to do whatever God tells him to do. But Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. So he tells his son, he says, God's going to supply a lamb for a burnt offering. Some people would say, well, he lied to his son. No, he didn't lie to his son. Because if we back up to verse 5, Abraham said unto the young men, this is when he's with his son, he's taking him up on the mount. He says, abide ye here with the ass. He says, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. So he said, what do you mean? He already knew he was coming back for his son. He knew before he went up there, him and his son's coming back. He told him, he said, hey, we're going to be back. He tells his son, he said, God's going to supply a lamb. You say, why did he know? Because he already figured it out. He already knew that all God was doing was trying to get his attention and saying, hey, I come first and you need to get rid of whatever's in front of me. God didn't want to take his son. God just wanted to open his eyes. God just wanted to show him that, hey, I come above everything. Some of us need to realize that today. There may be something in your life that God is trying to get your attention, and God's trying to say, you need to get rid of that in your life. And it may be something that he ain't necessarily going to take away from you. It may be something good, and I mean, it may be something that's not bad that you're putting in front of God, and he may be trying to get your attention to say, hey, you need to put me first. It may be your child today. I don't think he wants to take your child, but he may show you today that, hey, I need to come in front of that child. He may show you today that, hey, I need to come in front of that spouse. Whatever it is today, that Isaac, we need to lay it down. We need to lay that Isaac down. We need to let it go today. We need to put God first. We need to get God back first in our churches. We need to get God back first in our homes. But he already had the faith. He knew what God was going to do. Because even though he knew what God was going to do, here in verse 9, they came to the place that God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took this knife to slay his son. So even though he had enough faith to know that God wasn't going to do it, he still knew he had to obey God. He still knew that no matter what God said, I got to be willing to do it. God may tell you to do something that don't make no sense to the rest of the world, and it just seems silly. But if God says do it, you need to do it. So here he was, he had his knife in his hand, he had his son bound, he was getting ready to slay his son. Getting ready to sacrifice his son. Why? Because God said. But then, in verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. I could imagine. Right here. Boy, what a relief, I bet. Here he is. Are you really going to make me go through this? Had the faith that God wasn't going to do it, but are you going to make me do it? Okay, I can imagine when he heard that angel. Boy, what a relief. What a relief. I bet that came over him. But he said, lay not thine hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I knowest that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast withheld thy son, thine only, from me. So in other words, the Lord said, hey, we know now that you're going to listen to God. We know now that you're going to put God first. You know, today, God somehow sometimes gets our attention. And he'll tell us, he'll say, hey, but you know, a lot of people today, they can't get past the first part of saying, God, here am I. But then they get the instructions, that's as far as they go. He was willing to go through with it, and God said, hey, I'm going to have mercy. He's saying, don't do no harm to your son. But then I got to thinking about, not only did he tell him not to do any harm, but here in verse 17 it says, that in blessings I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and in thy seed shall possess the gates of the enemies. You say, what do you mean? He's going to bless his family. He's going to bless his home. Here he is, obeyed God. You know, today a lot of people's homes are turned upside down. A lot of people's today, their home is a mess. You know why? A lot of it's because we need to listen to God. We need to lay those Isaacs down of this world. We need to get rid of the things of the world. You say, what do you mean? I've never seen a time like we're living in. I've never seen a time so wicked, so evil, so demonic. But people inside God's house making excuses to commit sin. Making excuses. I had a guy the other day, Melissa thought we was going to get in a fight. I was just making him leave. You know what he got so mad about? Same thing a lot of people in the church getting mad about. I preached a message, and I mentioned this marijuana usage. Boy, you preach that on the streets, you talk about getting people fired up. He was so mad. He said, what do you do if a doctor gives it to you? I said, get a new doctor. He didn't like my answer. He said, well, what's the Bible? I said, the Bible says be sober, be vigilant. You don't put anything in your body that alters your mind. That's what the Word of God says. He didn't like that. But it ain't just him. We've been helping a church up in Grayson County a lot. They got two state troopers in there. One of them flies around the helicopter in Virginia. You know what he does? He cuts down marijuana. It amazed me how many people I've seen on Facebook, and I'm not talking about criminals. I'm talking about inside, good, independent Baptist churches throughout our area. Throwing an absolute fit because he cut down their crops. I've got a really good pastor friend right now. His son has a marijuana store. You know, you come over there and you buy a t-shirt for $150, you get free marijuana. They can't sell it to you, but it's free if you buy a $150 shirt. So what do you mean? They don't see anything wrong with it. They don't see anything wrong with sin. I'm telling you, we need to lay our Isaacs down. We need to get rid of this stuff. We got people in our churches all over don't see anything wrong with going down here and drinking their liquor and having their beer and having their wine. We need to lay our Isaacs down. We need to get rid of that sin in our life. Whatever it is, whether it's sin in our life, or it may be something that ain't bad, but we're just putting in front of serving God. We may be putting our sports in front of God. A lot of people put their homes in front of God. You say, what do you mean? I used to work for a guy, a utility trailer. Hey, I was lost at the time. I didn't want to work on Sunday. Boy, they'd come around. This guy was a Baptist. Every time they come around, and they started by asking for volunteers. And every time he'd say, I'll work. I asked him one day, I said, don't you go to church on Sunday? Yeah, but it's all right because they pay me double time and a half to be here on Sunday. He said, it'll be okay. You say, what do you mean? A lot of people put that money in front of God. They'll put that money in front of God. A lot of people now, even deer season, I don't know if they do it over here, but in Virginia you can deer hunt on Sunday now. I hear people in the church say, oh, I'm going to go in between services. Yeah, and when you shoot one, you ain't going to be there Sunday night. So what do you mean, putting that stuff in front of God? I've seen people today, especially retired people, a lot of times go buy them a big RV, big camper, and you say, what do you mean? Oh, I'm paying for this, preacher. Okay, well, they'll sit home Monday through Friday. They got to go camping every weekend and lay out of church on Sunday. Putting that camper in front of serving God. I've seen people today go buy them a good bass boat. Oh, I got to go fishing on Sunday. You don't understand. That's my only day off. I'm paying for this. We need to get rid of those Isaacs. I remember a time God's house was priority. Now it's second. When we ain't got nothing else to do, when we can't find some excuse to lay out, when we can't find somewhere to go, we need to get rid of those Isaacs in our life. We need to, there ain't no reason we can't have revival today. We preach all the time and say, we need revival, we want revival. Why can't we have revival? Preacher schedules a week-long revival. Most people in the church, I'll be there one night. What about the rest of the time? Oh, we got this, doing that. Need to get rid of those Isaacs in our life. Because I'm going to tell you, I know that we can look in the book of Job and we can find out that there's trouble that comes. Even to good people, Christian people, even he was in God's will. But look what happened. But I'm going to tell you a lot of things in our life today and a lot of troubles and a lot of things we're going through. It's because of those Isaacs in our life. A lot of the sicknesses, a lot of the troubles, a lot of the financial trouble, it's just simply because we need to get back in God's will. We need to get the Isaacs out of our life. We need to lay down our Isaac. And you know what? He'll bless us. He said right here, he blessed him. But not only did he bless him, but here in verse 18, says, and in thy seed shall the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. The people around him got blessings. You know, today we're living in a day, people selfish today. We got this attitude today that I'm going to do what I want to do and it ain't going to affect nobody else. Let me tell you something, when God pours his blessings out on you, it's going to affect the ones around you. But when you're out of God's will, it also affects the ones around you. I tell our homeless people, a lot of them's rebellious on God. A lot of them's homeless because they're rebellious on God. And they'll say, well, it don't affect nobody else what I do. I'll say, look here. I'll say, your mom and dad that's home that's crying their eyes out, that's crying out to God, I said, it affects them, it affects everybody in your family. And I said, when you get in your drunk rage and you go down the interstate and you wreck over here and you kill that child on the interstate, I said, that affects that family. I said, not only that family, but all them thousands of people that's backed up on the interstate. You say, what do you mean? Everything we do affects somebody else. So today, why do we want to make somebody else miserable? Why would we want the joy of God to bless them? You realize today that it can overflow. I remember them old timers used to get that cup of coffee and put it in a saucer and they'd fill it up till it went around the saucer and then they'd suck that out of the saucer. You say, what do you mean? It would overflow. I'm telling you today, the trucks, they used to have to put sideboards on them so you could haul more stuff. You say, what do you mean? It would overflow. When we get right with God and we lay our Isaacs down and we start serving God the way we need to be serving God, then I'm going to tell you, it's going to overflow on us and people around us are going to see it. Our co-workers are going to see it. Our friends are going to see it. Our family's going to see it. And today we wonder why our family members or co-workers or friends, why they're not getting saved. We wonder why they're not going to church. Because those Isaacs in our life, they got to see something in us they won't. They got to get hungry today. They got to see that overflow. If we can get that overflow in our life, guess what? It'll go on to others. The church today, when the church gets that overflow, the community's going to see it. I thank God that the walls are coming down. Amen. Thank God for that. I want to see it going on down the street next time I come back. Amen. You say, what do you mean? God can do it. Amen. When we get to serving God, we get those Isaacs out of our life and we put God first. Dale Earnhardt made the comment one time. The first loser, or whoever comes in second, is just the first loser. I don't want God to be the first loser of my life. I don't know what's in your life today, but I'm telling you, whatever that Isaac is, we need to get rid of it. Right. We need to put him first. He don't come second or third or fourth. He has to come first above everything in our life. Amen. If we'll put him first, he'll bless us. He'll bless the ones around us. I'd rather have nothing in this world and be in the center of God's will than to have everything this world's got to offer and be out of His will. Right. So I'd ask you tonight, just search yourself. Is there something in your life keeping you from serving God to your full potential? If I was to ask you a question tonight, are you as close to God as you once was? Let me ask you that. Because that seems to be something I hear a lot of times. As I'll hear people say, preacher, I just don't feel as close as I once did. Why? Why? Because the opposite of going forward is going backwards. So today, if you don't feel that closeness that you once had to God, what's came between you and God? What is it today that's more important? If I was to ask you tonight, what is the most important thing to you? I want you to think about that. What's truly most important to you? If you say my family, then that's your God. If you say my home, my job, guess what? That's your God. Whatever the most important thing to you is. Because the most important thing to you ought to be our Father in heaven. That ought to be the most important thing. Today, if you're more interested in the things of the world, we say, oh, I love Jesus more than anything. Then why do we give more time to the world than we do to God? Why don't we read our Bible? Why don't we study? Why don't we go to church like we ought to? Why don't we pray like we ought to? Why don't we get excited about that? We don't get excited about church. But boy, we get so excited at a ball game. We'll jump up and down and scream and shout at a ball game. But yet, we act like we're obligated to go to church. I'll just be honest, if you come to church tonight because you feel obligated, you probably would be better off sitting at home. You say, why? Because all you're going to do is hinder the Spirit. I'm just being honest. We don't got to go to church. We get to go to church. We get to serve a true risen Savior. His name is Jesus. Amen. And that ought to be our number one priority. That ought to be our first, most important thing in our world. You know, today we talk about seeing souls saved, and I thank God every time we see a soul saved. The greatest thing in the world for me is, outside of my own salvation, is to be able to lead somebody to the Lord. But you know what? That's not the most important thing. You say, what's the most important thing? For us to be in the center of God's will. That's the most important thing for us, is to be in His will. So tonight, I know it's a little different. I just like to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and I like to ask my wife if she'd come and play us a song. If she comes up, let me ask you a simple question. If you're sitting here tonight, you say, preacher, you spoke to me tonight, and I don't know. I mean, it may not be something bad, but if you're sitting here tonight, you say, preacher, I know I've got some Isaacs in my life that I need to lay down. I know there's some things in my life that's keeping me from serving God to my full potential. and I need to let them go. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to tell anybody who you are. Nobody's looking around. Every head's bowed. Every eye's closed. But would you just be honest and say, preacher, pray for me that I can lay some Isaacs down. Thank you. Hands up. Several hands up. Well, you know what? This altar's open. You need to lay them down at his feet and let him take care of that. You need to lay it down. This altar's open if you want to come pray, if you want to pray from your seat, whatever you want to do. But I'm going to tell you, this altar is where you're going to find help, because when your altar dries up, your church dries up. That's where you're going to find help tonight. But now let me ask you this question. You say, preacher, I can't really lay my Isaacs down because I've never truly been born again. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to tell anybody who you are. I'm not going to drag you up here. But I'm just wondering tonight, would you be honest enough to say, preacher, I've never been saved. I know it wasn't a salvation message. But you know what? I want to pray for you if you're lost. If you're sitting here tonight, say, preacher, pray for me that I'm not saved. Would there be anybody just slip that hand up and be honest with the preacher? Say, pray for me, I'm lost. Anybody at all tonight? Well, I want you to know this altar's open if you got a need. I'm going to ask Melissa to sing, and I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. But I'm going to get on this altar myself. But if you need one of us, peck us on the shoulder.
Not leave here with any Isaacs in God's way. Like you said, anything we put before God, big or small, has become our God, has become our idol. Don't leave here tonight without doing business with God. You don't know Jesus. You've never been born again. Maybe tonight or this morning the Lord dealt with your heart, showed you your need, showed you where you're going apart from Him, which is hell, where we talked about this morning. I praise the Lord that you do not have to go there. Jesus did what needed to be done. He said, if you'll just call upon His name, He'll forgive your sins. Save your soul. This way. Thank you all so much tonight. I praise the Lord for that wonderful message from Brother Denny. I love something. It always jumps out to me when I read that scripture in verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's talking about Jesus. Because of Abraham being willing to lay his Isaac down, God brought the Savior of the world through his lineage. And God wants to, if we'll lay the Isaacs down in our life, God wants to do great things in our lives as well.